Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, that's the GWG Reporter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, and the surrounding areas. And, of course, we are coming to you wherever you are at this hour. We thank God for you, you and you. It's a pleasure to be with you again on such a beautiful day. Here, praise God. We thank God the sun is shining brightly. We don't know how long, but it's shining brightly and all. And, you know, we can't, you know, judge the weather anymore, because we look bright one minute and next minute it's, you know, dark. But we thank God for whatever it is that we're still here. Don't you thank God for that? Yes, you do. It's a great day today. And we want you to call us at 347-857-3925. Give us a call while we're on the air, okay? Now, here he is. Oh, Sister Day.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords. You are that conquering Lion of Judah. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord Father, this day that wasn't promised to us, Lord Father God, but was a gift from you, Lord. And Father, we be careful, Lord Father, how we go about this day, giving you all honor, glory, and praise. Father, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord Father God, and those that we're praying for forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you. In thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us. And Father, we thank you for being that merciful, loving, and forgiving God, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father God, that you are God of many chances. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being long-suffering. Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord, Father, you know each and every person, name by name, Lord, and you know what they're in need of. And Father, we thank you and glorify and magnify you, Lord, for your will being done right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, Father, for bringing home Kaylin from the hospital, Lord Father. We thank you for hearing the prayers, Lord Father. Father, continue to open his lungs right now, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, as we come and arrest that asthma, Lord Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, covering him under the blood, Father, we thank you. We glorify and magnify you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you the Corcoran family, Lord Father. Father, we ask you to touch their bodies right now, Lord Father God. Father God, as we plead the blood of Jesus over the entire family right now in the name of Jesus, as we come against cancer right now, Lord. And Father, dry it up right now, Lord, from the root cause, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, touch their bodies right now, Lord. Father, we speak healing into their bodies from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet, Lord. Father, any sin, Lord Father, that they have caused, Lord Father, or done, Lord Father God, Father, we ask for their forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your healing virtue flowing through and through them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for bringing Naomi out of the hospital, Lord Father. continue to touch her body right now, Lord Father. Father, as she too go through cancer, Lord Father, touch her body. Father, touch her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet right now, Lord. Father, as she continue to look to you, Lord Father, standing on your word, Lord. Father, we speak strength to her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Reginald right now, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord Father, to touch his mind right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, touch his mind like never before, Lord Father, as we pray for his salvation right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Lisa right now, Lord, and her entire household right now as we pray for their salvation, Lord Father, and for you to just move, Lord Father God, within that home right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we're thanking you for peace of mind right now, Lord Father. Father, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Father, we thank you for your supernatural strength just flowing through and through her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Lucy, Father, and her sister, Lord Father, as she's standing in the gap for her sister, Lord Father God. Father, you know what's going on, Lord, and we ask you, Lord Father, to touch her body right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we hold before you Heather, Lord Father. Father, as we continue to pray for her salvation, Lord Father God, her peace and her comfort, Lord Father God, in you right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Patricia right now and her unborn baby, Lord Father. Father, as we speak safe delivery, Lord Father, when that time is right, Lord Father, not before it's time, Lord. Father, we thank you for your shield of protection round about them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and glorifying you, Lord Father, for all that you're doing and all that you have done and about to do right now, Lord. We thank you for all those, Lord Father God, on this prayer list, Lord Father God, as they Father God, to touch and agree right now, Lord Father God, with us as we pray not just for them but for their loved ones, Lord Father. Father, we thank you and glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father, as we continue, Lord Father God, to pray, Lord Father God, for this coronavirus, Lord Father, that it may not come near our dwelling, Lord Father God. Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for keeping us, Lord Father God, in your ark of safety right now, Lord. Father, as those, Lord Father God, stand together, Lord Father, praying, Lord Father, against this virus right now, Lord Father, that they may not come near their dwelling. And Father, for those, Lord Father God, that may and have contracted, Lord Father, Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father God, to touch them, Lord Father God, and let them call upon you right now in the name of Jesus. And those that have lost loved ones, Lord Father, give them that comfort, Lord Father, the peace right now in the name of Jesus. Father, as we continue to hold this broadcast before you, Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord Father, as it continue, Lord Father God, to touch nations, Lord Father. Father, as you use, Lord Father God, Apostle, Deacon, Mike, Pastor Sharon, Bishop Porter, Lord Father, as you continue to use them to bring forth the word, Lord Father. Father, speaking, Lord Father God, healing and deliverance, Lord Father. We thank you right now, Lord Father, for covering it under the blood right now in the name of Jesus and canceling every assignment, Lord Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast. Right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, touch our listeners, Lord Father God. Father God, give them the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word, Lord Father, as it come forth, Lord Father. Those that need prayer, Lord, have a praise report, Lord. Oh, Father, just want to accept you in their life as their Lord and Savior, Lord Father. Let them not hesitate to press that one button, Lord Father. And Father, we thank you and glorify and magnify you, Lord. Father God, for just allowing us, Lord Father God, to be here just one more time, Lord Father. Father, we thank you and glorify you. Father, now I ask you to decrease. my apostle and pastor right now, Lord, Father God, as you increase in them right now. Father, we ask you to show up and show out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God is good, isn't it? Amen. We thank God for that prayer. And you hear your name called. If not, call us, 347-857-3925. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today and what you need us to pray for. We will put it on our list and call it before the Lord and continue till we hear from you or feel that something, God has done something in your life, you know. And we thank God for you just being there listening. Give us that call now. We're waiting for you, okay?
All right, let me give you a word of
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, here you go. If our youth are to bring about peace in tomorrow's world, they must be exposed to peace in today's homes. If our youth are to bring about peace in tomorrow's world, they must be exposed to peace in today's homes. Oh, are you exposing your children to peace today? I pray that you are. You know, today we thank God for Pastor Sharon and Sister Diane and now the Prophet Nathan. My. We just thank God for them. And, of course, we thank God for you. And we're sending all our prayers to you today that you can handle right now through your trials, tribulations, situations, whatever's going on. We glorify you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right now. Now, you know, those of you that are listening, you could call in, tell us, did you enjoy the broadcast on yesterday? You know, I really would like to know that. You can call us, you know, from your phone, 347-857-3925. Come on, we would love to hear from you, okay? But today, you know, we're going to, I tell you, I was wanting to have a time to ask questions and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. If you have a question, you can call and answer that, you know? It won't be you. You know, we won't feel bad. We'll try our best to answer it to your satisfaction, okay? All right, then don't forget, now you can call. You can call us. Yeah, we are waiting for you. But meanwhile, let's talk about those relationships, you know. We were talking about that. Conversation about, you know, everything. You have to have a relationship. Everything you're in today, no matter what your career is, no matter what place you are in life, you have to have a relationship with someone. I know you say, well, you're alone. Everybody hollering about they're alone and they like being alone and all that good stuff, right? But you know you're not satisfied with that. You have somebody that's connected with you, whether it's on your job or wherever you are, whatever situation in your life, you're going to have a relationship. Some relationships are bad, right? Some people have bad relationships, right? Come on, Matt. All right, yeah. You know, and I don't want another friend. You say that, but you still got to have somebody in your life. Somebody going to do something. Now, you live by yourself. You all alone. You don't associate with nobody at all. You get sick. Don't nobody know you in the house sick. Do it. You don't have no type of association, relationship with anybody. Huh? Everybody needs somebody. If you got a family, family members, you know, and all of them, you know, not going to have a good relationship with. You're not going to have a good relationship with all your family. Okay? So stop trying. You just try, 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 and you do it to no avail. Nothing happens. Nobody gives anything to get mad at. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And mothers sometimes fall out with daughters. Daughters fall out with mothers. We have all these things going on. So there's a wide variety of conversation for the fact that we all want some type of relationship with somebody, another somebody just like you. See, you don't want to be alone out there. Ain't nobody else there but like you. You want to associate with them, don't you? Like minds, like minds. You know, today. And I thank God for that. And I used to think I could be alone and by myself. You know, I don't mind being by myself. I can entertain myself. You know, I can. Can you? There's many things you can do to entertain yourself. So what you need to do today is to know who you want a relationship with and how you want. And I'll just ask her. Sister Diane, did you get anything out of that?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Yes, I did. So, would you like to? Would you like to say something while I make a little exit?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Just like I said on the previous broadcast, you know. Though I'm not a newbie, it wasn't, you know, my first, you know, go around. I just thank God for the word that came forth because, you know, you can always learn something new. You look back and, you know, that time that you take and your relationship, your marriage that you have been in, you look and you see your part on what you could have done better. You know, communication is always a major key also in a relationship. Communication is just not on one side. It takes two to communicate, just like, you know, they was talking about God and Adam communicating, Eve and Adam communicating. It takes two to communicate with one another. And you talk things out. You talk things. No relationship is perfect. And just like I heard Pastor Sharon said yesterday, though God said that you two, he put the two of you all together, that doesn't mean that it's not going to have problems. You're not going to go through anything, you know, because a lot of people think that, okay, you know, they enter into a relationship, whether it be a marriage or just a friend relationship, things going to come up, but it's how you deal with that. You know, how do you deal with the things that, you know, that you're going through? Do you just call it quits and say, you know, forget this? Or do you work it out? Do you communicate? Do you talk? Do you find a solution together? And in all that, forgiveness is so major also. You know, because in the heat of moments, you say things, you do things. But you never come back and say, can you forgive me? Yes, it's already done. But can you forgive me? So, you know, when you enter into another relationship, you don't carry all that baggage that you had from that other person into your new relationship. I just thank God for the word. Even when she was talking about, you know, the divorce part and, you know, finding, you know, not finding favor in your husband's eyes, not just, you know, your husband, your wife's eyes. It doesn't matter, just not finding that favor. I just, like I continue to say, I thank God for the word. I thank God each and every day when the word can come back to you when you're facing something, when you're going through something. It's just time for you to just sit and spend that time with God. Talk with God. Have that relationship with God. You can do that. And another thing, when she was talking about praying with your spouse, and you know, you all doing those things together, not when you get married, we're gonna start doing this. You know, you started from before. You show what it is that you're all about and stand by, you know, what you say. I just continue to tell, like I say from the previous broadcast, if you missed it, you ought to go back and listen to it. It is very interesting. Know that life is not a bed of roses. We all have stuff that we need to deal with. And even in experiencing, you know, when you can go to your leader, and you know what, I tell you, my leader, Apostle Porter, she don't play. You know, you're talking about relationship. Don't just come and say what that person is doing. No, because she's going to listen to you. And when you're finished, you know what she's going to say? Now, what is your part in it? What have you done? So it's not just okay for you to just say, well, this person did, this person always doing that, but you're so innocent. No, you're not innocent, because it takes two. Every action causes a reaction. So it's not just one person doing it, is two. But can you accept the blame also? Can you deal with someone telling you, no, not so, you know, this was your part, and correction to come forth? Can you do that also? Love is not a one-way street. It's a three-way street. And I say three-way because it's your love, their love, and God's love. So I just continue to say thank you for the broadcast, Pastor Sharon. I text you and I told you I thank you for the word that came forth, because when I step in to my new marriage, it'll be better than my previous marriage. And I just say thank you. I take nothing and no one for granted. I don't even take the word for granted, because many wish that they had someone in their life where they can come and get advice. And I'm not talking about, oh, leave your husband, oh, leave your wife, you know, or, you know, none of that negative, nothing but godly advice. True men and women of God that you can go and you can talk to when you going through something. As you heard Pastor Sharon say, she got married at a very young age. She didn't know a lot of things. And today, a lot of people go into marriages expecting, but never write that, you know, that plan down, that vision down of, you know, our goals. This is, you know, they go in not having conversation. You know, they have their own ideas, their spouse have their own ideas, but they never bring it together. They never come together and talk about how we're going to raise the kids, how we're going to deal with the finances, you know. Are we going to be doing vacations? You know, what religion are you? What church are we going to? Because they might be both going to two different churches. Now, who's going to say, okay, I'm going to give up my church to come to your church? These are things that when you're going into a relationship, you know, you have to talk about. If you don't talk about it, you know, when you say, I do, and then all these little things start to pop up, and then first thing that come out your mouth, I should have never got married. Why did I get married? You know, all this is going to come up, and you can tell me no right now all you want, and I said, devil, you are lying, the truth of God ain't in you, because it is going to come up. It is going to come up in the marriage. And the devil plays on that because, you know what, he enjoying that. The devil don't like marriages in the first place. He don't like unity. So if he can cause that division and keep that division, that's exactly what he's going to do. And you don't know no better. Why? Because you didn't have that conversation and you don't have that relationship with God like you're supposed to have that relationship with God. So everyone out there that's thinking about, you know, getting married, entering into a relationship, conversation, communication on what it is that you're expecting, what you're looking for, you talk. All those things that, you know, Pastor Sharon talked about. You're talking about how you raise your children. Do you want children? What church you gonna go? Finances. Think about those things as you enter into a marriage. It's not all about sex. Sex is only for a time. But what happens now when you have to deal with this person without sex? You know, what happened? What happened if, you know, that person gets sick? I remember Bishop talking about him counseling, you know, a newlywed. You know, what happened if this person gets sick? What are you going to do? And can I, exactly, they can't perform. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay or are you going to go? And the words were they was going to stay. But you see, it was testing time because God got a way of testing you to see, okay, let's see if your word is true. Are you going to stay or are you going to go? Was it about just sex or was it about a relationship? And the female got sick and the man left. These are things that we need to look at. We need to look at stuff like that. Going into a relationship, a brand new relationship, you don't take past hurts and pain in there with you. Be healed, and you don't jump out of one relationship and go just jump back into another one. Where was the healing process in the first place? There was no healing process. You just wanted to not be alone. Listen, this day and time is time for us to take heed to our actions, what it is that we're doing. Take heed to it. Every action gets a reaction, whether it's a good one or it's a bad one. But you know what? You have to deal with whatever it is that you created, And you are not innocent. You had a part in it too. Can't just continue to blame this person. Well, you know, that person do this and that person do that. But look at the way how you react. The same reaction that you did is the same reaction you're going to get back. So I just thank God for this time, just talking. And I'm learning. I am learning. I am really, really learning, because I know this time when I go in, it will not be the same. There's things that, you know, I have already, and you can't say I just alone. Yes, it's I when you're by yourself, but it's us, it's we, it's both of us, you know, when you in a relationship. But that personal relationship, you yourself have to have with God, as well as both of you all have with God. It's no good relationship without God in the midst. So I thank Apostle Porter and Pastor Sharon for this time, for me just even saying what I got out of the broadcast yesterday. Now I'm going to turn it over into the hands of Pastor Sharon.
Praise the Lord. We thank God this morning, because truly the word is always on time. And our topic is, we thank God for Sister Diane sharing what she have gotten out of the word that came forth about relationship. Because like the Apostle Porter was not too long saying that we all have different types of relationship, mother, father, brother, sister, teachers, different aspect of relationship. And in order to have, like yesterday, in order to have a relationship, you have to what? Relate. And in order to have a relation, and for you to have a relationship, you must have a relation. And in order to have a relation, you have to relate. And it all connecting. Why? Because relationship brings forth a connection between you and the person. And sometimes it goes beyond a deeper relationship as an intimacy, an intimate relationship, or a emotional relationship, or a blood relationship, or a marriage relationship. But you know what? It's connecting you to someone else. And I'm reminded, but God told Adam it's not good for him to be alone. He saw that Adam was alone. So he connected Adam to Eve. Why? So he can have an intimate relationship, because Adam had an intimate relationship with God. So therefore, trickling down that God sent Eve his way, so he can have an intimate relationship through marriage with her. So it lets you know that God is all about what? Relationship. And the enemy don't like relationship. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Just like the book of Genesis tells us about how he tricked Eve into believing the word. In other words, the word sounded true, but there was a twist to it. And she fell for that. And that came forth with what? When they did that, right, they betrayed their confidence. They betrayed, a betrayal came forth. Why? Because God told them not to eat of this tree. You can eat of everything there is, but this one right here. And what came? She was deceived. So a betrayal came forth. What is betrayal mean? It means disloyal, unfaithful, misguided, seduced, deceived, to disappoint the hopes of or expectation of. Be disloyal. Violation of what? Confidence. So they did what? They were on what? They were disloyal. God told them not to. But then something came along, and who was that something? The serpent. And when that serpent came, and verse 6, the Genesis, the third chapter, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also unto her husband with her he did eat. Remember what the word said, there were no longer two, right? There were one. So, if there were no longer two, and she'd partake of that fruit, they were in oneness, right? Because Adam did know what God said, but he came into the agreement with her and did partake of that fruit, just like I'm reminded about Ananias and Sapphira. They were a married couple, but they chose, they had a good intention. But what came along? That the betrayal came along. The enemy came in, right? And they were came together in agreement. Now, that was a bad agreement. It violated God's principle. So they were in agreement when they said, well, they told the apostle, everyone was selling everything they have, and they were going to donate the money to the cause, to the ministry, and then what? Someone whispered in their ears. Who was that one whispering in their ears? That deceiving spirit. And say, you know what? No one really knows how much we sold our property, and we have $500,000. But you know what? We're going to keep some back, $100,000 for ourselves, just in case a rainy day something don't happen on with what we say we were going to do. But you know what? The question was asked, wasn't it yours to give in the first place? Yes. It was ours to give in the first place. In other words, a question, God always asks a question. How much is this it? Yes. Are you sure this the amount you got? Now, warning bell should have came up, ding, 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 the prophet asking you a question. But you know what? When the enemy deceive you, you're blind to the deception. And they said, yes, this is what we sold it for. And then he said, why did you, what? Deceive, lie to the Holy Spirit. Remember what we said? They were what? On one accord. They weren't two now. You seen two people, but God only see one. And what happened? They dropped one drop first, and the other one, not knowing what was going on, came in and did the same thing. Why? Because they come into agreement that we're going to deceive the prophet of God. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Because people don't fear the prophets in front, but you should fear the Holy Spirit, right? Because God is the one that shows all and sees all. So what happened? They both lost their life. So you got to watch that illegal, what? I call it illegal or unlawful agreement that you come in together with your spouse. Don't allow yourself to lose your life by what? This being doing deception, allow deception to come into the midst. Remember, Jesus said this. He's the one that searches the heart. He knows what's in this person, right? He already knows the intent. I don't care how they try to represent it, that it was all good. Remember, we're reminded that the enemy will slip into something, but you got to recognize what spirit is moving. And then we talk about, what, betrayal, right? And then when you turn your Bibles to Judge, the 14th chapter, And remember what the Word of God says, right? In Matthew, the 19th chapter, we're just going to highlight certain things. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And where they are no more twain, but one flesh, but that what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So when he said, when what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, right? And then when God says that, he means exactly what he said. And then we go to Judge the 14th chapter, and he talks about Samson, okay? And a little bit about Samson. His mother, what? She was barren. And the angel of the Lord came to her and told her, you're going to bear a, conceive a child. But not just any kind of child. He's going to be a, you're going to have a son. And went to tell her the characteristics of the son. And tell her what she should eat and what she should not drink. Don't eat anything unclean. Don't drink any wine. And this is what you should do. And then she did what? She recognized why? Because she saw the glory all around. She seen the appearance, the glory of God. So she knew it was an angel of the Lord. But then what happened? She went and she told her husband. Now, I like this when I saw that. We're talking about relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when she went to her husband and told him, according to Judge the 13th chapter, told him what happened. And in verse 7, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now, I was very impressed by that. Why? Because the angel went to the wife first. And you did not see him saying, I don't believe it. He didn't say, I did not believe what the wife said God showed her, right? He believed the word. But he came into agreement and asked that what? He went to God and asked God, can you send the person again that they can teach us what we should do? In other words, he wanted to do the right thing. He came into agreement. They had that communication going on. And he didn't say, well, why did God come to you first? I'm the man. No. Because the word of God tells us there's no neither male nor female, but God looks for a person that is willing to do, to willing to hear, to willing to walk into action. So God spoke the word, and then what happened? When she come to, when verse 10, and when you keep reading down, God answered his prayer. God answered Manoah prayer. And then when the wife recognized the visitor again, she ran to her husband and said, this is the person that told me about it. But you know what? He was told again, verse 14, she may not eat of anything that cometh out of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. In other words, confirmation came again. Yes, I'm the one that gave her the instruction. Let her. Don't put restrictions. Let her do it because she was told this is what she should do. And it came to pass that when you keep reading, that what happened is he started to ask questions. And what I love about God, he said the secret things belongs to God. And the things that he reveals belongs to man. He wanted to know, who are you? What's your name? And the question was asked, why do you want to know? Because what? The secret things belong to the Lord. Secret things belong to him. When he wants you to know something, it belongs to you then. But in the meantime, it belongs to him. And then when you go into chapter 14, the child came forth, and his name was Samson. And he saw a woman, a daughter of the Philistine. And when you read further down with the chapter, he went to his father and his mother. Now, I tell you, that was a bold son. Because you know your lineage. You know that, you know, that you stick with your own kind. But he did what? He went to his father and his mother in verse 3, and he said, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughter of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleased me well. Now, if you want to kind of turn your Bible back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. What does Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 6 read? You'll be surprised that the enemy don't care. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. He said, what? Oh, Father, you know now. I'm looking here, and she pleased me well, because my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord in the woman. Because that's what, come on now, you know what? Everything else didn't matter. All teaching went out the window. Come on, it went out the window. Why? Because, for she pleased me well. Mm-hmm. But check this out, though. Number 4, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistine. For at that time, the Philistine had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared. And he just talked about what happened with him on the way. But you say, why are we talking about this? Because what happened when betrayal comes your way? The first betrayal came when what? Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of God. They betrayed his trust. And a lot of people think disobedience is betrayal. They were told not to do, and they did. That's a betrayal. But they were what? Deceived. We just think about it as we were deceived. But they also was told what to do and what not to do. And they betrayed God. That's the first betrayal. So he talks about verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they bought 30 companions to be with him. Now, who are the they? Who are the they that they bought with them? And verse 12 says, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garment. Now, isn't that something? Remember that. Samson was feasting. It was a time of feasting, right? Celebration. Celebration. He told his parents, I want this woman. This is her. That's it. She's pleasing to me. That's who I want. And they asked the question. But you know what? It, verse 4 tells us it was the doing of the Lord, right? You have to discern. In other words, they did not discern it, but God let it be known if this is a part of his plan. And then verse 13 says, but if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheaves and 30 change of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. In other words, he told them, if you can tell me what this means between this time, I'll give you this. But if you cannot, you have to give this to me. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now, here comes y'all. See, that enemy don't care who, because he was among who? About 30 companions. Companies to be with him. In other words, the people he was around was not for really him. Not everyone that celebrate around your marriage or your feast meaning they're for you.
Amen.
Everyone that walks with you let you know that they're for you. Amen. They're not for you all the time. Some is now. We're not going to say everyone is like that. And then verse 15 says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, remember whose wife it is now, Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? In other words, they came to her and threatened her, right? And her what? Thy father's house. Now, didn't the Bible say when they get married, they're supposed to leave mother and father and cleave and to each other? But they came there and they threatened her father's what? House. Now, it showed me something right here. When God told Abraham to leave the house of his father, right? And God told him, he took his wife Sarai, Abram and Sarai, and they went to a place they never been before. They left their what? Their father's house. And the Bible tells us that now. A man should leave what? His mother and his father. And they what? Cleave to the wife. Why? Because you're starting over again into togetherness. But while you're still connected physically and spiritually to your father's house, you're going to obey the rules of your father's house. You will not walk into the blessed with the new what? Husband, because you're still in the father's house. And even though they threatened her, she listened to that threat. And I tell you, it taught me something that, you know what? You have to pay attention. And verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou doest but hate me. You old lady. You know what? The woman of God told me long ago, Women have the power of persuasion. I don't care. You going to meet your match that can wear you down. Whether you're walking in the right way or the wrong way, you're going to find somebody that come that can whisper sweet nothing in your ear. And you know they call him the Jezebel or the Delilah spirit, but you know what? We're not going to just say it's all female, because you ladies, you're going to meet that man, that spirit that he will, what? That seducing spirit that will come to seduce you. So they did what? She did what? She said, she kept pressing him. And she put on the tears. Oh, my goodness. And you said, but thou must hate me. We going to do it the way ladies do it, y'all. And loveth me not. Oh, if you really, really, truly, 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 truly love me, you will tell me. Oh, my goodness. You will tell me. But you know what? Because you don't really love me, you hate me. You know that man was in his honeymoon phase still, y'all. Come on now. The favor was still in his eyes. She had favor with him. So he said this to her, and loveth me not, thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people. You see what she called them? My people. My what? My people. Now, remember, Ruth, entreat me not to leave me, nor from following thee, for where thou goest, I will go. For thy people shall be my people, and my people shall be, you know, back and forth. In other words, she did not make that transformation. Her heart was still at her father's house. And she said, my people, and has not told it me. In other words, you did a riddle, and you ain't told me it at all. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and I shall tell it thee. You know, we're going to do like the men be doing. No, you know I ain't told my mother or my father, but I'm going to tell you. You know I love my mother and my father, and I ain't even revealed that secret to them yet. And you want me to tell you the secret. You want me to tell. But then what she did, she poured it on some more, and she wept before him the 7 days. Now, you know what? 7 days? So he talked about him feasting for how many days, y'all? 7, right? So for that 7 days, she just kept coming to him, right? Because verse 12 talks about the fair, the feast for 7 days. So that means every single day she was pouring on the tears and pouting more likely and twirling her hair and doing every little trick there is. And he said, and she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasts. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her. Man, he couldn't handle it after that. After seven days, he had to tell her. He couldn't take it no more. Now, ladies, in today's language, what do we do? You ain't telling me? Forget the celebration. There ain't no honeymoon happening up in here. Did she do that, y'all? Because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. In other words, she kept on for 7 days, y'all.
7 days.
And you know what? He did reveal. He told her. Why did he tell her? Because he trusted her. He told her. Why? Because they're no longer two, but they were one. He exposed himself. He showed his weakness by telling it to her. Because what? She was his helpmeet. But then the helpmeet did what? she went and she told it. She told it to what? Her people. It didn't say our people. You heard what Sister Diane said today? There's no longer I, but it's we and us. And she told it to what? Her people. Because my people shall be, your people shall be my people. And verse 18 said, and the man of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, and they did the riddle. And they what? They came back with the answer. And it's read, I'm going to read this because I saw something important. And the man of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not, and then he told it. And then he said this, if he had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle.
Okay,
now. Now, when he said plow, if it ain't what? Plow my heifer, right? If you did not come into my circle, in my privacy, to my help meet, you wouldn't have known. So there was a betrayal came right there. He realized that he was betrayed by what? The one he said was pleased to his eyes. She pleased me well. And she what? Violate his confidence in her. He had confidence in her. He was what? He was that disappointed by it because she did what? She told it. And you know what? Even though that happened to him, it shows that God was still with Samson. And God what? The anointing of the Lord came upon him. If you read on your own time, and Samson what? He ended up getting everything that he said, the garments. And the change, why? Because he was betrayed. So how do you handle betrayal in the relationship? Not just marriage relationship, friendship, on the job, teachers, siblings. There's different relationship of betrayal that comes in a relationship. How do you handle betrayal in a relationship? Do you come to the forefront and ask for forgiveness? Or do you do like Adam did? Is that person you send my way? But you know what? Samson knew. He knew. You heard that word, that verse, right? He knew. He said, I didn't even tell this to my mother or my father. So there's no doubt who you got it from. And he talked about he was angry. His anger was kindled. And he went up to his father's house. Now, you know what? When you keep on reading, you'll find out that this happened to Samson. And then when he went now, you know, it talks about when a man get mad, think about it, y'all. All I could see is this is what I want, but then something happened along in the marriage or in the relationship, and a person betrayed your trust. Or we use the word, or you're disappointed in because you had confidence in them. You found out there was what? Disloyalty there. Whatever words you want to use, because for each person is something different. And they knew, the father knew Samson was upset. The wife knew Samson was upset. And those people knew he was upset. But then when you read in chapter 15, they say when he came now to go get his wife, now not because that happened doesn't mean that's not still his wife. But guess, look what happened. The father, her father, would not allow him to go in. Why? Because he gave her to someone else. Now, the sad part about it is, y'all, it's not the fact that she betrayed him, but you're getting a double whammy of betrayal. Your friend also, the friend, got hooked up with Samson's wife. Now, shouldn't that friend say, no, that's my friend? And because I know my friend, I know he really crazy about this one. Or you just say, there's some things I won't do. I cannot portray my friend's trust in me. Why? But it shows there not everyone was his friend that he taught. But he talks about it as his what? Thy companion. I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? In other words, you know what? I already gave her because I thought you did not want her anymore. In other words, he was mad, right? So how long did it take Samson to come back? How long did he take to come back? It talks about it was the timing of the harvesting of the wheat is when he came. So how do you deal with a betrayal like that? The one you connected to, she told your enemy your riddle. Even though she was being threatened, she did not cover him, but she exposed him. She left him naked, right, to the enemy attack. She left him naked to the enemy attack. And it tells me, man, Samson got more upset when he went there and was told that. And what he did, he went and he got more radical. And he did what? He, in verse 4, talks about what Samson did. He got what? Caught, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrand and turned tail to tail. And he did what? When he did that, everything got burned up. Everything got burned up. And guess what? Revenge time. Isn't that what happened? When you're betrayed, you want to do what? Take revenge. You want somebody to pay because they what? They hurt you. They cause injury to you. You had great hopes, but they injured you by their deception. And when you read further, he did what? When he did all that, the Philistine came up against him and asked, wait a minute, what happened? And they were told, because he lost his wife to his friend. And you know what? I tell you, she was trying to save her life, right, and her father. But in the end, she lost her life. Because what did they do? They went and they follow up on the threat that they did. They did put the house on fire. So she was killed. She was burned in that house. So she betrayed Samson twice now. Told his secret. And then married his friend, even though her father was the culprit. Yep. And then he talks about this. And when you look at this, it's in the word. These things happen in real life.
Yes, they do.
It happens in real life. I'm reminded long time ago, a minister, he was a young man that lived in Miami, and he was married at a young age. And to find out that the person that was standing right there at the altar with him would be the one to betray him when he got married. I remember the woman of God had to minister to that young man. That was a devastating pain for him. Why? Because not just your wife betrayed you, but your friend, the one that's beside you, the one that eats with you, the one that you tell your secrets to, that one that you put your trust in, deceived you. So he had double betrayal also. But you know what? You just have to go through that pain. You got to go through that process because it's a reason for everything. Nothing you go through in life doesn't mean, when you go through things in life, it's for a reason and a purpose. Samson wanted revenge. But you know what? You find out when you read further in the word of the chapter 16, he did not learn his lesson still. You see what I'm saying? He lost that first wife. He lost that because he told his innermost secret. He revealed something. And it was told. And then when you look, they were Delilah, the same woman, the same type of spirit, different names, different, the same type of spirit. But you know what? She did the same thing to him. She wore him out until he revealed what he should have kept secret. Remember, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, and the things that he told, it belongs to you. You never tell everything what God is saying concerning what he has for you, because you don't know what the enemy intention is, even though he was right there with what? She was an harlot, number one.
Come on now.
In other words, he was hurt, bruised, whatever else, he was wide open for anything to happen because she what uncovered him. But the same thing happened here with Samson. She tried different things, and that's what I didn't understand. How is it his eyes was not open when he told her something like, just tie a bow around me and a stone at the end. But that's not what the scripture says. You can read it at your leisure. But what happened is she was telling his enemy. They had a trap for her, for him. They bribed her. They bribed her. And she accepted the bribe. But eventually, Samson revealed his strength. And this time, because he'd been playing for too long, he was caught in the trap of the enemy. How many of us is playing? How many of us has been playing with our life or playing with your relationship? Just because you haven't got caught yet or exposed, you say, well, you know what? I'll keep doing it. But what happened when this time favor has run out, grace has run out? How would you respond? Would you respond like Samson in a relationship you were portraying? Is revenge your portion? Or will you remember, vengeance belonging to me, the Lord saying, vengeance is mine. I'm the one will repay or recompense. I'm the one. If you leave it in my hands, I'll work it out for your good. See, because God knows how to get a man and a woman. I don't care what you may try to do, your little stuff is nothing compared to how God knows how to get your attention. But Samson had to learn his lesson the hard way. Do we pay attention to the trick and the deception of the enemy? And then when you look at Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now, she plucked it down with her own hands. Why? That was her husband. And she told the riddle. She told him. She exposed him. She did not cover him in the sanction of prayer. She did not cover him. And a lot of times you got to pray for the spouse. You got to pray for your children. You got to cover them. So if you don't leave, if you leave them naked, the enemy can attack them. But you got to pray. And then what? Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. You need mercy, y'all. You need mercy. You need mercy. So even though you may walk in a place where you're walking in deception, you've been portrayed, lied to, know that God sees all things today. You don't have to take matters in your own hand. Know that God is the one. He's going to repay every man for every deed that has been done in this body. He promised us this in his word. You will reap what you sow. It doesn't matter if it came from her father's house. It does not matter if it came from your sibling house. It does not matter who it comes from. But I'm reminded today that God is the one that will repay everyone. Since we're talking about relationship, I can share this too. A lot of times you're not aware of the plot and the snares of the enemy, or you're not aware of the evil companions around you. Not everyone is like that. They have some good people around y'all, but they have some people that just have evil intention. They allowed the enemy to deceive them. And I'm reminded in my relationship, in my marriage, in the early years, God would send a word by a prophet. God had to remind me, y'all, a lot of things, what he was doing in the early years of me, of our relationship. He'll send the prophet, and the prophet will speak the word that God said. You did not do them anything to them. You have not. In other words, I can understand if I had did them something, and they retaliated. I can understand that. But God said you did not do anything to them. But God said, I will. Vengeance is mine. He said, I'm going to repay them for what they're doing to you. I'm the one. See, because God looks above. He looks from high, right? He looks. He sees everything. I don't care if you go to Timbuktu. God sees that you go to Timbuktu. I don't care if you do it in the dark. I don't care what you do. God sees all things still. When the look like it's darkness in the dark of night, when man plots and do evil, God say it's daylight to me, because I am God. I see through all things. And he said, I will repay every man for what they do. You don't have to take matters in your own hand. But I thank God today for his shield of protection around me. God even reminded me when he would allow me to go to services and they will pray. They constantly were praying around us, my husband and I. They were constantly were praying around us. They were constantly praying about the honeymoon spirit around us. Constantly praying for God to bring that, keep that love there. Why? Because the enemy was declaring and decreeing they were going to destroy us. And betrayal came from where? From people that was close around us. But God said he will not suffer it to be so. I'm reminded of that. He was bringing things back to my remembrance. That's why I was covering y'all. That's why I was speaking the word of love around you. That's why, because of what the enemy declared and decreed. And he said, who I put together, no man put asunder. Who I've joined together, no man put asunder. Why? Because he is God, and there is no other God but him. He is Jehovah today. He is my help today. He is the way, the truth, and the light. He had to remind me. He had to remind me where he bought me from. Can God do it? Yes, he can. And newlyweds or season wet, don't let no one declare, and man, don't let no one say, oh, you whip. That's just a word from the what? The devil. They just jelly belly. Why? Because they ain't got nobody hovering over them. So they trying to speak that negative word over you.
Come on now. Jesus. Come on. Come on.
Ladies, let them back off you. You just jelly beans. You wish they will fall all over you. You wish they would. You wish they would. You just want that just for yourself. See, the enemy comes in different little way, in sly, slick way. But you know what? When God come and he breathing life into that relationship, you just say, blow life into that relationship. Refresh that relationship. Renew that relationship. Take away the stagnant from the relationship. Yes, Lord. He has to breathe a freshness in there. Because there's times in the relationship, I heard a woman of God, if you stayed in the marriage for 49 years and a half, stayed another 50. And I'm like, oh, God, they probably say, he getting on my nerve. Why they saying, let me go, let me go. I'm in the mess right now, and I need God to move on my behalf. And if God don't move on my behalf, I do not want to be in this relationship and bust hell wide open. But you know what? I thought about the word again. In other words, allow God to work on you. When she's saying, in other words, you were there for 30 or whatever years or 40 or 50 years and you stayed there. So that means you did not allow God to marinate you, work on you. And if you are a prayer person or a prayer warrior, because the word let us know the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So what have you been doing through them years? Were you truly praying or were you complaining? Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's something to think about, y'all. Because God can do anything but fail. So today, remember, even though betrayal, you may be betrayed by your family member, by your sister or by your brother. Because you know some people just don't mind dibbling and dabbling in your relationship and slipping and sliding. And while you're going to work, they come to your house. Some people just don't mind to drop it, like it, whatever. Some people just don't mind. But you know what? If betrayal have came in your midst, release it right now. Give it to God. Let him work it out. You don't want to work it out like Samson today to take vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will work it out. He will turn it around just for your behalf. I tell you, it takes God, y'all. Remember what we said? You need God to be the what? In the head of your relationship. You need God. So today, be blessed and know that in the betrayal is, it, this is something you should, you know, just strengthen yourself for, because Jesus was betrayed by what? One of the ones that were in the midst. But it's not what happened. It's not being. It's not the fact that you're being betrayed. But what do you do? Do you use it as a stepping stone? Do you use it to grow more? Or do you use it to go the opposite direction and be vindicted? Remember today, Jesus was betrayed, but he did not allow that betrayal to stop him. You should not allow it to stop you. Be blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for that word today that came forth from Pastor Sharon. I tell you, we just say thank you, Lord. So, you know, use this word today. Apply it to your life today, because you know what? That relationship is so awesome, especially when you have that relationship with God. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune in to blogtalkradio.com/ time to talk about it and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. You can also visit us on Facebook at Logan International Ministries, and you can just click on the broadcast and listen to it. If a word has been said, you know, you would like to bless the woman of God, sow a seed into her life, sow a seed into this radio broadcast, you can visit our website at LogianInternationalMinistries.com and hit that donate button. Again, that's LogianInternationalMinistries.com and hit the donate button. That's LOGION. And know that no donation is too small or too great. And may God continue to bless you. Every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference line. And that call-in number is 480-660-2316. Again, that's 480-660-2316, code 3333#. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Let's stand together in unity as one as we pray, tearing the devil kingdom down. Again, that calling number is 480-660-2316, code 3333#. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things
start happening. I stop.
sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.